FM CHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Enlightened philosophers tell us that we are divine beings in human form. Let's get real here. How can we live a busy life with a job, kids, and a mortgage and still be spiritual? Join CJ Liu as she tackles real-life issues through a spiritual lens and talks with experts in relationships, work, and more. You'll get practical life skills and learn how to touch, feel, and experience a whole new way of living. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com, and call CJ now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Live from the headquarters of CBS Radio, this is Fired Up with CJ, now at fireitupwithcj.com. Can you believe May is half over? It's more than half over, actually.
I know, it's crazy.
The month of May has been all about women and empowering each of us to be our very best. And I want to welcome CJ Liu here today with Fired Up with CJ. And it is, we have like this week and next.
I know, it's been going so fast.
I don't know how to put those brakes on. When you find out, you let me know.
Okay.
Slow it down a little bit.
I know. Life is going by so quickly. So thank you, Cassandra, and welcome, everybody. I'm CJ Liu, and today we have Kristen Rowe Finkenbeiner, who is here to remind us the power that we have as women. I got to tell you, this whole month of May has been about women, and I'm truly fired up. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, Cassandra. I mean, it kind of makes me feel super powerful as a woman.
Oh, it does. The eclipses are going good for me. We have one more next week, and I think things for me have been going great.
I know. So this segment is about moms. And I think as moms, we kind of sometimes forget and buy into, I think, societal idea that moms are less valuable, especially if we leave the workforce. And even if we are in the workforce, there's a sense that maybe we're checked out or not as valued as we were before, which kind of, frankly, ticks me off.
Me too. I think we're harder workers.
I know. So today our guest is from Moms Rising, Kristen Rowe Finkenbeiner, and she is here to remind us that every single mom has impact outside of work. I mean, whether she's the CEO of her household or at work, we have impact, important societal impact that we can make, and she is going to tell us how. So welcome, Kristen.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, so tell us. So first of all, tell us a little bit about what inspired you to start this organization.
Well, what really inspired me was listening to the stories of moms. As I was writing about women, I was writing about women's economic security, and a giant light bulb went off when I was looking at U.S. Census statistics. I am a secret numbers geek. And it turns out that 82% of American women do have kids by the time they're 44. So most women are moms. And to your point of sort of thinking that moms are something less or, you know, don't bring as much to the table, we're talking about most women at some point in their lives. And we all know that women and moms are working very hard, are playing by the rules. But then we look at the data and we see also that there's significant economic hit, significant discrimination that moms are facing. In fact, there's a maternal wall standing in the way of most women ever getting to a glass ceiling. So I co-founded Moms Rising in May of 2006 to really break down the maternal wall and work toward greater equality for women overall. And now we have over 1 million members.
So what's the economic hit that we take as women? And when you refer to the maternal wall, what is that wall all about? Is it something we self-impose or is it something that is created?
It's definitely not self-imposed. The maternal wall, one way to look at it is what happens in terms of wage and hiring discrimination when you have kids. So women without children make about 90 cents to a man's dollar. Women with children, 73 cents to a man's dollar. Single moms make about 60 cents to a man's dollar, and women of color experience increased wage hits on top of that. So when you realize that over 80% of women have children by the time you're 44, it is very apparent that it is this maternal wall, this wage hit that's driving down the wages of all women. And I'm going to run a couple other numbers by you. And that is that when you look at women with equal resumes and job experiences, a study that was done at Cornell University 2 years ago, not in the 1950s, not in the 1800s, and not in the Stone Ages, found that with equal resumes and job experiences, women with kids, moms, are offered jobs 80% less of the time, and they're actually offered $11,000 lower starting salaries than non-moms. Dads are offered $6,000 more, and they're taken off the management track for fewer late days than non-moms. So moms are judged more harshly in the labor force. So we've got a couple things going on. We've got direct discrimination going on, and then we've got family economic security policies that are out of step with the modern labor force, that if we put them in step with the modern labor force, would help address some of that wage gap that we're seeing.
Wow, that is incredible. And you know what's weird, honestly, is it feels like there's this marketing campaign, not based on, and I don't know where the factual evidence is that there are more women CEOs, women are making progress. Who's heading up these campaigns?
It's a good question. I mean, we are advancing slowly. But, you know, if you look at the state of women in America across all sectors, we haven't broken through 20% anywhere in terms of leadership. Now, we're just about 51% of the population. So what we're looking for here is equality and, you know, stopping the wage and hiring discrimination. But if you look at, for example, U.S. Congress, women comprise 19% of the U.S. Congress. We rank a low 91st of all nations in women's representation in our national legislature. There's fewer than 20% of media folks who are women. As we all know, you all are doing a good job being women leaders in the media. I'm glad you're there. And also when we look at Fortune 500 companies, actually less than 5% of Fortune 500 CEOs are actually women. And what's interesting is if we take a step back and look at what happens with companies that have women in leadership, and in fact a Pepperdine University study did this, they studied all Fortune 500 companies, so 500 companies over a 20-year period, and they found that when women are in leadership, in that corporate leadership, that actually across all sectors, those companies make more profit. So we know that having women engaged is positive for business, positive for our economy, and we also know, and this is really important, that most families now need the earnings of moms to make ends meet. So three-quarters of moms are in the labor force, and the first time in history, 50% of the entire paid labor force are women. So we have a changed economy, a changed labor force, but just looping back around to those family economic security policies relating to access to affordable early learning, relating to access to sick days, we really haven't caught up to what's going on every day in people's lives across the nation.
Well, what I find so interesting is that I think as women we kind of know this, and this is kind of a cop-out, but I think I'm just too busy. Like, I know this is an issue, and I just can't fight it. I'm too busy. And maybe I'm part of the problem. Am I part of the problem? Are we part of the problem, women who think this way? I'm too busy. I don't have enough time to deal with this. I'm sure that this is the case, but I hope someone else will be working on this issue.
Well, I think, you know, arguably, most moms are busy. I mean, moms are juggling an unprecedented number of gender roles at the same time, and the entire nation should stand up not just on Mother's Day, but every day giving a standing ovation to moms.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what we do at Moms Rising is we acknowledge that moms are busy, and we work hard with over 200 policy partners to find the moments and the places where busy moms can use Moms Rising as a conduit to have their voices heard about issues that impact them in a way that has actual political impact. Mm-hmm. So talking about the wage gap, studies do show that when you have access to affordable child care, access to paid family leave, access to sick days and health care, that actually the wage gaps narrow and we have greater family economic security overall for men and women and kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's needed. As an aside, a quarter of families with young children are living in poverty in the United States of America. So we do need to address that issue in order to have an economic engine of our future that is robust, which is our kids. But we also know that moms who are busy, if we offer them lots of different ways to take action, you know, everything from one click that it will take 1 second to something that might be 5 hours if they have time then, that moms do engage, and that together the voices of moms are an incredibly powerful political force that we wouldn't even have imagined how powerful moms are politically.
Yeah, so tell us what you've been able to accomplish with the powerful voices of all moms working together.
Well, we have been able to help pass the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Restoration Act. We were able to help pass the...
And for folks who don't know that, tell us what that is.
Oh, it's making it so that if you are discriminated against in your workplace in terms mm-hmm. of wages, that instead of there being a statute of limitations around the time in which you could actually have legal recourse, you can actually have legal recourse later on. Now, let me explain why this is important. So the law is named after Lilly Ledbetter. She was working for 19 years in a company. And after working for 19 years, she found out that she was paid less for the same job as a man who had less time in the job, so lower seniority, and actually lower performance reviews. And at the point when she found it out, the statute of limitations had run out on when she could have had legal recourse. And so the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Restoration Act says that you can actually sue when you find out. And that's an important thing because talking about our wages is often taboo. You know, we don't compare our salaries at the water cooler. And, in fact, many companies have it be a practice that is not okay in terms of their workplace policies. Mm-hmm. So lifting the amount of time in which you can say, hey, guess what? I've been paid less for 19 years is important. So that was a big win. We're still pushing right now for the Paycheck Fairness Act in Congress. The president supports the act. That act has passed both the House and the Senate at different time periods, but not at the same time. So it hasn't moved forward to the president's desk. We're still pushing that. But we've also passed a tremendous amount of paid sick days policies at different states and cities, including the city of Seattle, helped pass it here. And that's an important policy because 80% of low-wage workers don't have access to a single paid sick day. So we're passing those type of policies or helping to pass them. And I could go on for a really long time. People would be bored.
But it sounds like what you're doing, like you said, tracking back to what you said earlier, you're taking basically looking at policy partners and helping moms participate at different levels, whether it's one click, 5 hours. So how would we know about what's going on as moms if we want to participate as part of the movement?
Oh, it's free to sign on with Moms Rising. You can go to www.momsrising.org. Sign on, and then what will happen is we'll send you moments when your voice could make a difference. You can also connect with us on Facebook or Twitter, and you can decide, do you have time this week or that day, or do you not? And then you can also decide if the issue interests you or not and take action accordingly. Another thing that Moms Rising does that is highly effective is that we collect and share the stories of our members. And we've found that sharing the stories of our members about things like why we need access to affordable health care has a big impact on sharing with each other that we're not in this alone, you know, and that when this many people have the same problem at the same time, we have a national structural issue and not an epidemic of personal failings. But also sharing with the media, who we just talked about, are less than 20% women. So a lot of journalists don't have the perspective of women. So sharing those stories can have a big impact on how they report on the stories, and also sharing with members of Congress and elected leaders for the same reason, who may not have that perspective of what's going on with women and need that in order to make the legislation. So we've had that be a huge impact as well.
Okay. First of all, I love your energy. I love that you're a numbers person. I absolutely love that. We have Kristen Rowe Feinberger here, the founder of Moms Rising. So much passion and energy that hopefully inspire you guys to go up and sign up as mothers. I've signed up, and I think I've gotten a lot of really interesting emails. So, folks, make sure to sign up. And in the next segment, we're going to get a state of the union on moms and how moms are changing the world. I think we've talked a little bit about that, but we're going to learn even more. We'll be right back.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And Fire It Up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com, and call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky.
Sky.
Welcome back. We are live from CBS Sky Radio. This is Fired Up with CJ, now also on iTunes. You can download the podcast after the show is over. Our guest today is Kristen Rowe Finkbeiner, founder of Moms Rising, where moms and people who love them go to change the world. Check out www.momsrising.org. I'm Cassandra from CBS Sky Radio, and we're going to go right back to CJ.
Hey, everybody. I'm CJ Liu, and we are lucky to have Kristen Rowe Finkbeiner here from Moms Rising. And, you know, I love that every year in the beginning of the year we get a State of the Union from the president. And I thought it would be a perfect opportunity to get a State of the Union from Kristen on how are mothers doing in terms of the U.S., what's working well, what's not. The interesting thing about Kristen is in 2006, around Mother's Day, so it's almost been exactly, 7 years?
Yeah.
Since she wrote this, she wrote something called the Motherhood Manifesto, which included an agenda for change to make parenting and the workplace compatible and improve the lives of families. So, welcome, Kristen. It's been 7 years since your manifesto. What has changed, and where would you like to see more happening?
Well, there is a greater understanding of what it means to be a mom in America across all sectors right now. So that's a positive change. We're starting to see important policies gain traction at the city, county, and state level, sometimes the federal level. Mm-hmm. I will say we've been having a little bit of a blockade issue, as has every other issue on the planet, in the U.S. Congress, who aren't moving quickly on many issues. But I think one of the things is that issues that parents face, that mothers face every day, are starting to get taken more seriously at the highest levels. For example, in President Obama's most recent budget, he included robust funding for early education and child care. This is a big moment. We need to, like, pause, have a standing ovation. This is a big moment. Child care costs more than college right now in most states in our nation. Most people aren't prepared. Most people haven't been saving since they were 2 years old for their child care.
Yeah.
And so it's a huge opportunity that we're starting to see more doors open for parents to have issues addressed. And we're starting
to see family economic security
issues addressed as national economic security.
Yeah, so it's working parents being able to have affordable child care as well as good educational resources for their kids. That's the basic thing that you're saying is an issue that we face as mothers that Obama is now addressed. Is that what you meant?
Exactly. It's not addressed yet. It's in the proposed budget, so it has a long way to go to actually be enacted. But one of the things is that we're increasingly understanding that family economic security impacts our national economic security, so that if moms aren't doing well, nobody's doing well. It's kind of an old refrain, but it's actually increasingly true. So moms make, or women actually make, 85% of purchasing decisions. In our country now, for better or worse, 70% of our economy is based on consumer consumption. So if moms don't have enough money to spend, if we can't raise healthy kids who can be in the labor force in productive ways later, then we aren't going to have a healthy economy. So people are starting to really understand that it's not just the right thing to do to address wage discrimination and high costs of raising kids. It's the economically smart thing to do, which is a big change.
Is that because so they've seen these studies to go, oh, wow, actually, I better treat women a little bit better because otherwise they're not going to be spending?
No, it's that, and then it's things like in child care. You can look at the data and see that for every $1 from taxpayers that go in to child care, taxpayers later get back $7, and that's because of lower future grade repetitions, less interaction with a very costly criminal justice system that we have in the United States, and less reliance on later government entitlement programs. The same thing goes with things even like food stamps. As our economy has changed, the return on investment has changed. So if people can't buy food, if you can't go to the store in your community and get actual food, we actually lose money. So for every $1 in food stamps, taxpayers actually get back later $1.73. So we have a very different economy as we've moved from a manufacturing economy to a consumer economy. And in that economy, the wages and the work of women is more important than ever.
So you're saying that part of what you're trying to do is help people understand that the return on investment on some of these things, like food stamps, child care, is actually a positive return on investment when you look at it over the long term and the societal impact.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not that far off from the fiasco and the conversation that we've had about Wall Street and about the increasing gap between rich and poor. Is that, you know, what are we talking about here in terms of building a country? A lot of people, a lot of Wall Street bankers have been penny wise and pound foolish by looking for a quick return immediately, but not thinking about the long-term consequences. And in the time that we have had Moms Rising up and going, we have seen the conversation sort of start to have an eye-opening moment about the consequences of ignoring long-term outcomes.
So that's fascinating. So when you're saying there's a greater understanding of what issues are for mothers, it's actually understanding long-term repercussions of some of the short-term policies that we have, or actually non-existent policies
that we have. Exactly. I mean, when you think just what happens when you have a baby in America is a ridiculous situation right now that we hope to have increasingly addressed. It's being addressed in an increasing number of states, but when you have a baby, we don't actually in the U.S. have access to paid family and medical leave for a mom to recover from the birth of a child, to establish breastfeeding, to, you know, allow the child to thrive. 177 other countries have that policy in place. But what happens in the U.S. right now is a cascade of problems for many families. So you have a baby, and then you're out of the labor force, and then infant child care is enormously expensive. And so you're trying to pay for infant child care to get back into the labor force.
Right.
And you can see how we end up with a quarter of young families living in poverty. And that really is not good for any of us. It's not good for the kids. It's not good for the parents. It's not good for our national economy.
Yeah.
And so really having a reality check about what's going on. I mean, having a baby right now is a leading cause of poverty spells in our country, which is a time when your income dips below what's needed for food and rent. So having that wake-up call happen across America, which is happening, is a good thing.
Yeah, and not to mention that in the 40s is when you're actually probably able to make the most money in your career, and when most people are having kids is in their 30s and 40s nowadays, so the hit seems to be even greater. Now, here's the thing that's so interesting is that there are other countries, like you said, that have way more favorable policies towards mothers. Have they not measured the impact of those policies so that we can look at that? You know, we don't have to be like, isn't this miraculous? You know, these things actually help women. Can't we use other countries as models and learn from that?
We are using other countries as models to draft legislation. And the fortunate thing that we always like to say is this isn't rocket science, what we're trying to do here in the U.S. It's been done literally hundreds of times in other locations. And so a lot of any kind of problems with the legislation have been worked out. It's really about educating our nation, addressing this culture of rugged individualism that we have here that sometimes stands in the way of passing policies that allow people to have a solid ground, a solid foundation on which to start families.
Yeah, so is it that people, and like you said, it's not rocket science. People have been doing this all over and having successful policies. Is it because we feel like, oh, well, in the U.S. it's different, so we must have something different, or that doesn't really include our needs. Why don't we just follow those?
Well, I have to say I'm on your side with what the heck, why don't we just do this? But I think that one of the things is often when we tell people that, you know, most other countries have the policies in place that we're asking for, people don't believe it. You know, a lot of us, I'm very patriotic, I love my country. And a lot of people love their country to the extent that they want to think we're always number one. Well, it turns out we're not always number one. but you know, I love my country enough to help us try to get there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we don't have to be number one. I think what's fair to say is we're number one in a lot of different areas. We can't be number one in everything, and this is an area where we are not number one, and that we could learn from other people. I mean, that's the sad part about it. But so let's go back to Moms Rising. Tell us about the issues that you cover are maternity and parenting leave, open flexible work, toxics, healthcare for all, early child care and education, realistic and fair wages, sick days, and paid days, so of which we've talked about throughout the segment, first and second segment. Where do you see your legislative agenda changing, if at all?
One of the things that we're focused on right now, which is hugely important, is making sure that women and children are represented in the immigration policy reform that's being drafted right now. A lot of people don't know that women are over half of immigrants in our country, and if you add kids to that, it's two-thirds of all immigrants.
Wow.
And so often when the legislation is being drafted, people aren't thinking about things like, how do we help stay-at-home moms who are immigrants? How do we make sure that women who are working in domestic jobs, nannies, house cleaners, caregivers, are actually protected as we move forward? And so a big focus for us right now is making sure that women aren't discriminated against in immigration policy reform. We're also looking, making sure that everybody gets access to the health care they need through the implementation of the Affordable Care Act and through protecting Medicaid, which covers one in three kids in our nation right now. So there's a lot of issues that are important and impact moms that are moving forward right now.
Okay, folks, we'll get signed up, momsrising.org, and you can get a newsletter, and there's a scope of different things from one click to five-hour kind of projects. There's a need. We need your help. So, folks, make sure to go up and sign up on momsrising.org. Thank you so much, Kristen. Thank you for the work you've done on behalf of all of us mothers. I appreciate it. It's a way that we can change a world that I never – I guess I was too lazy to think about, but thanks for making it easy for me.
Well, thank you. Thanks for all you do, and thanks for having me on.
Okay, thanks so much. In the next segment, we talk to Leslie Morgan Steiner, a Harvard-educated, powerful businesswoman and editor of the critically acclaimed Mommy Wars, and we're going to be talking about her book, Crazy Love. We'll be right back.